Good morning, church. So good to see everyone this morning and worship together. I'm glad you're here. I hope you're glad you're here. And I hope you come with a heart of faith as we try to gain insight from God's Word. To our visitors, we're grateful for you, and to those who are worshiping online, we give our love and our greetings to you. This morning, we're going to talk and continue from what last week. We're going to talk about Jesus, our high priest. Those who are in class this morning, bear with us because there may be a little bit of repeating, but that's good for you. It's good for me. So repetition is a good thing. You know, last week we looked at Leviticus 16 and we went through and we showed that old system, that sacrificial system, the Day of Atonement, was one of the greatest days in the history of the Jewish people. They had this tabernacle, and that tabernacle was broke up into two sections. The front section being the holy place, the back section was the Holy of Holies. It was in that back section where God said His presence would reside. There was a veil that separated the two. Only the priest could come into the outer one, but they could not go behind that veil into the Holy of Holies to appear before God. And we looked at an illustration to see where Nadab and Abihu went behind the curtain. God struck them both dead on the spot. God's a holy God. That's what this system was teaching. God is a holy God, and nothing, no one unholy is coming into my presence. And when they came to make this sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, that Day of Atonement was to take care of all the sins of the people that were committed in ignorance. One day a year, he would go in and appear before God, the high priest, and he would bring a bull, and he would offer the bull and the blood of a bull first for himself as a high priest, and for his household for the sins that he has committed. And secondly, they had two goats. One of them was an offering goat for behalf of the people. The other goat was called the scapegoat. And whenever he would offer the goat for the sins of the people, he would come out and he would lay both of his hands on the head of the scapegoat. And he would begin to confess the sins of the nation on that scapegoat. They were being transferred to that scapegoat. And then someone was standing by, and they would take that scapegoat and they would lead him far out into the wilderness, away from the whole nation, to let it go. And God was signifying, I've accepted the work of this high priest. I've accepted the blood of goats and animals, bulls, for your behalf. And now all your sins are being removed. It was a very solemn day, a very serious day, as that high priest was representing all the people. One thing God made clear, because of man's unholiness, there must always be a representative between man and God. And the high priest was that representative that went into that place before God. But the high priest had sins too. And if Jesus became our high priest, which he did, he's now our representative before God. Now, one thing you have to keep in mind, all of that system back there was just a copy and a shadow. It was a reflection of everything that was happening in the life of Jesus and in heaven. And it was a direct reflection of what Jesus would accomplish one day, that Jesus would be all those things that that high priest represented, except Jesus was the reality. That was just a reflection of what Jesus would do one day. So when we look at that, come to Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to look with me. Let's begin here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. This is a great verse to help us get a good picture of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Look at the vastness the death of Jesus covered. His death reached all the way back to that copy and that shadow. All those sins that were committed back there that were represented through the animals' deaths. He said Jesus' blood went back and redeemed all of those people. The redemptive, the buying back part of God. All those sins were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's what he covered. His death just didn't affect us today and us at the time back here. It affected every one of those people. All the way back to the high priest. The redemptive act of Jesus. All those sacrifices and all those things that high priest was doing back there was pointing to Jesus. Everything was pointing to Jesus. And if you were to take some time and go through and read the book of Ephesians, several times in the book of Ephesians, you know what Paul said? From the foundation of the earth, when creation was made, God already had it all planned out what the death of Jesus would accomplish. And that's when he brought in this sacrificial system. He had to give the people something back there that they could approach him with. And that's what those sacrifices were about. That's what that high priest was about all the way back there. God had worked out a way for man to have a relationship with him. Again, nothing unholy is getting in his presence. And in God working that out, he set that sacrifices in order. And then through Jesus was the reality of it all. Reached all the way back and redeemed all those people who had been going through all those sacrifices back there with the blood of bulls and goats. And Jesus said, I've redeemed them all. They're mine. And because I've redeemed them all, because I'm promising an eternal inheritance for my people. That's what it was all about. When Jesus dies on that cross, 700 years before he passes and dies, Isaiah the prophet comes along, Isaiah 53, 700 years earlier. And this is what Isaiah was told about the death of Jesus. Isaiah 53:11, he said, as the result of the anguish of his soul, Jesus, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he, God, will see it and will be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. The only place you will ever find in Scripture where God was satisfied is Isaiah 53:11. He saw the death of Jesus and what Jesus was accomplishing that day. I am now satisfied. I've got the perfect man. I've got the perfect representative for man. And I've got the perfect sacrifice. And it's found in my son Jesus. And God says, I'm satisfied. A way to God has been opened through the death of Jesus. And Jesus became the high priest. To us, it doesn't mean much when we say high priest, because we're not Jewish. We weren't under that system. We don't know as much about it. But the high priest meant everything to the people, because they were going to find every one of their sins one day a year atoned for in that nation. And here comes Jesus, the representative of man. He had to become man on earth. And becoming man on earth, he's going to accomplish everything God wanted. God wanted a perfect sacrifice, not the sacrifice of blood and blood of bulls and goats. He wanted a man that would completely do his will perfectly. And Jesus is that sacrifice. Now that we know that, Hebrews chapter 4, when you start in chapter 4 and you go to verse 14, all the way through Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, that's over half of the book of Hebrews. And you know what he talks about in all of that? Jesus, our high priest. Half of the book of Hebrews is spent on the high priest of Jesus. That's how important it all is. Well, let's look at the work of the high priest. Come back to chapter 2. Let's see what satisfied God about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 17. Therefore, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren in all things. How was Jesus made? He was man, but he was God as man. And so he had to be made like we are in every way, experience what we experience, go through the things we go through, because he was going to be our representative of the high priest to God. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So he was made like us in all things. Why? Why? What does the high priest in this verse deal with? Look carefully at it. He said that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful. That's what you find. And faithful? How does he function as a merciful and faithful high priest? The end of the verse in verse 17. Well, really, the middle, right before we get to the end, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That's how he functions. What are the things that pertain to God? I'm a holy God. I don't let any imperfections come before me. You can't come before me imperfectly. No. So guess what Jesus did? Not only can he be merciful because he was a man, and he was made like us, he will be faithful in what he does in the things that pertain to God. When that high priest back in that old system went into the presence of God, he was doing the things that pertain to God between God and the people. That's what Jesus was. Now look at the end. To make propitiation for the sins of the people. Propitiation, that's a big word. It's a covering word. It's a word that says, I cover your sins with my sacrifice. I will make propitiation a covering for your sins that you can stand before a holy God. And I'm going to make sure that you can. I am the perfect sacrifice. And God looked at me, and God said, I'm satisfied. You know, the only problem is today, people are not satisfied with Jesus. They want other things. When you take the worship assemblies, people want something exciting. They want something big. They want some grandeur out of it all. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for a people that have some faith in His sacrifice that He was satisfied with. Because He's the one that covered and satisfied God on behalf of our sins. He's merciful and He's faithful in things regarding God. One thing I don't want to let us forget. Back under that old covenant, He says in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17, that when a person sins unintentionally and they're not aware, you're still guilty. God holds you accountable. And they will incur their guilt. See, God would not even let unintentional sin go. What would you need to know? How do I know I hadn't made any mistakes? Jesus, the high priest, is going to make sure of that for you and for me and for all. He's faithful. He approaches God on what God wants, and He's merciful. He knows what we need. Well, have you ever done something in your life? And I've heard this by others, not here, in other places I go. Have you ever done something and wondered, what if I had a sin missed? And I get to God, face to face with God, and God says, no, you don't have redemption because this you forgot. You ever wondered and think about that, is God going to remember something against me? Come over to 1 John real quick. 1 John chapter 1. I want to show you this. 1 John chapter 1. And I bring this up because I have sat in classes where I've heard people say this, and I want to make sure we understand it. Look at verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And people come along and say, what if you didn't confess a sin? Then you're not forgiven. That's not what He's teaching here. The work of the high priest, the high priest is the one that confessed the sins of the people before God. Nothing gets missed. Well, knowing that, look back at verse 5 of 1 John 1. This is a message we heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. What do you learn about God real fast? There's no darkness in God, and there's no darkness getting close to God. God is light. He's always been light, and He always will be light. Look right quick, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. To walk in the light. God is light. If I walk in the presence of God and I'm being honest, honest in all things, I'm letting the light shine on me, and that means if there's anything hurtful in me, I want to know. If you walk in the light that God is the light, what do you find? We have fellowship, number one, with God. And number two, if you caught it at the end of the verse, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us. Cleanses. You see that ES on cleanses? It's constantly happening. All the time. See the benefit of walking in the light and being honest? The blood of Jesus keeps cleansing you. So you know what that means? If I've done something and I forgot about it, and I'm walking in the light, what can I rest assured of is happening between me and God? The blood of Jesus cleanses me. Even the sins I'm not even aware of. So guess what's always happening between you and God? The blood of Jesus is being applied to your life. That's the work of the high priest. And that means come to the end, he obtained eternal salvation. When it comes to the end, oh yeah, I forgot. You did this and you never did tell me about it. There's not going to be any surprises. On the day that we stand before God, the righteous judge, our standing is going to be with Jesus. I paid that. I cleansed them from that. Let my blood count on their behalf. That's the way it always happens. See, sometimes we're missing the point of who Jesus is as our high priest. There's nothing being missed between you and the Lord if you're being honest with God. The high priest stands ready, and he's there to help. We need someone between us and God that can deal in the things that pertain to God. And that's what Jesus is constantly doing. Come over, if you would, to come back to Hebrews chapter 2 again. Let's read this one more time to make sure we're seeing what he says. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He's the guarantee. He's the guarantee none of your sins are being missed. And we need to see that in Jesus. If you'll come on down with me to, I don't want to skip something here. I just had a thought. I have a lot of thoughts. Look at chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What do we have? We have. And what has Jesus done? He's passed through all the heavens. He's gone to God to make propitiation in the things pertaining to God. And so he's passed through the high priest. And you know what you confessed and I confessed? Go back to the day you were baptized into Christ. Something around this was said like this. It may not be exact for your day, but something like this was said. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed one, and that he died for your sins? And you and I replied, yes. Hold fast that confession. Nothing's being forgotten. Nothing's being moved out of the way. You've been forgiven. And you've been forgiven eternally. Nothing's coming back up. The blood of Jesus constantly cleanses us from sins. Now, if you're going to just go walk off into sin and you don't care, I'm going to do this thinking that I can repent later. God does not tolerate that. Hebrews 10:26 tells us, if we go on sinning willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins. See, God doesn't allow the sacrifice to cover willful sin. But if we're being honest, if we're being humble, and if we by faith are latching a hold to the death of Jesus, what are you guaranteed of? Your high priest is right there with God where we need him. Let's continue on. Come over to chapter 9. That was read a while ago. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. You know what Jesus didn't go to? He didn't go to that tabernacle like Moses and them made. No, he didn't go to that system. He went to heaven in the presence of God. Remember those sacrifices in that temple and all? They were a reflection of the heavenly things. He went right into the presence of God to offer atonement for the people. Verse 12. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. When Jesus dies, you know where he goes? He walks right into the presence of God. He goes behind that veil in the Holy of Holies. He goes in there, and he's not bringing the blood of bulls and calves. No. I'm bringing my blood. I'm not bringing a substitute. I'm bringing myself to appear in the presence of God to obtain one thing for these people that I was made like. Eternal redemption. Eternally. That's what he accomplished on our behalf. He was made like us in everything so that he can become merciful and that he will be faithful to the promises made and appear before God and say, I'm their representative. I'm coming in. I'm going to obtain redemption. I'm going to obtain eternal life for my people. They're my people. In the day you came to Christ to be baptized, you confessed him. You put your faith in the death of Jesus, and he cleansed you that moment that you were immersed into Christ and you were raised with him. That moment, Jesus was showing God, here's their blood sacrifice for their sins. Everything they've ever done wrong in their life, every incident that has been against you, God, put it on me. I offer my blood on their behalf, and they're being baptized into my name. They're putting me on. And God looks at that. He looks at Jesus. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with you. The question is, are you satisfied with me? Sometimes as we fail, sometimes we try to work our relationship with God. We think that if we study more, we read more, we pray more, we attend all the worship assemblies, God will accept me. God will accept you and I on the basis of one thing and one thing only. That's the blood of his son. That's all. Nothing more. I'm satisfied with him, and I will forgive all of your sins. That's my promise, according to my son. And so, if the blood of bulls and calves are no longer needed, no, he entered with his own blood. Look what happens. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls, of goats and bulls, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. If the blood of animals could cleanse our flesh, look at the question, verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit of God offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If the blood of bulls and goats through that sacrificial system, when that high priest went into God and he brought the blood of animals, and God would accept it, if God would do it on the basis of blood of animals, what about the blood of Christ? And what's the blood of Christ for? To cleanse your conscience. That's where the blood of Jesus should be applied. If we don't have any faith in Jesus and who he is as my representative, your conscience will never be cleansed. That's why you work your way to God. You know, we feel the guilt when we've done wrong. We feel the guilt. And you know what the blood of Jesus is for? To cleanse your conscience so you can serve a living God in all clear conscience. I remember in a Bible study with a lady, and she sat there and she had so many sins in her life. She was telling me her life story. Oh, and her life was one messed up thing. She responded to this eternal redemption, this thing of Jesus. She was baptized into Christ. And I remember the week after, we'd get together every week and study. I remember the week after she was baptized into Christ, we were sitting in my office, we were studying. And we brought up something about her past sins. Some of it I knew. And when I said it, she looked at me and she smiled. And I was kind of puzzled by it. You're smiling at your sins? She said, what wonderful news that my sins are never remembered before God again because of Jesus. She had a Savior, and it was real to her. And she wasn't going to let her conscience be defiled, you know, from dead works. What are the dead works? That's these animal sacrifices. Every time you sinned, you had to bring an animal. You had to put him on the altar burnt offering. You had to cut that animal's throat. You had to watch the life go out of that animal. And then the priest would come over and he'd take the blood of that sacrifice and he would put it before God and put it on the horns of the altar to cleanse them. Those are dead sacrifices. The blood of Jesus is a living sacrifice. And he lives always, always, always to cleanse us from all of our sins, even the ones you're not even aware of. And so, every single week, you know what we do? We take a supper. I hope you take that serious. That supper is making a proclamation. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 11, we're making a proclamation of the death of Jesus. He's our sacrifice. He's our Redeemer. He's our High Priest. My body was given for you. Do this, taking it to remember me by. And that blood of the covenant to not remember your sins anymore, that you sit and you take that and you remember, I never count a sin against you again. As long as you keep honest and walk before me in my life, all your sins will be covered. And as long as you hold to Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your mind, all of your sins are covered. If God would accept a bunch of dead animals and those dead works, how much more would he accept the sacrifice of Christ Jesus? You know, I just brought up the supper. And you know what people want to do today? This shows you how far off so many things are. People make worship about musical abilities. People make worship about something that's exciting, or we recognize people. Who are we here for today? We're not here for anybody's abilities. We're not here recognizing people. This can easily become a place of coffee and donuts. What does that say about Jesus? We are the assembly of Christ Jesus. We are the assembly of God that come together and that proclaim His death, because our lives depend on His death, and we proclaim no other person except Jesus and Him crucified. He's our satisfaction, our propitiation for every sin I've ever committed. And God looks at us and what we put our faith in, and God said, I'm satisfied too. I hope you're satisfied with Him, because I am. He's how we serve our living God. Let me come back one more. Come back to Hebrews 2. Look at verse 9. But we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Verse 10. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. Verse 11, pay close attention to it. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. Sanctify. Holiness. Is God holy? Guess what Jesus does before our holy God as our high priest? He sanctifies every one of us. You are set apart as holy to God. And now that you're set apart as holy to God, look at the end of verse 11. For which reason He's not ashamed to call them brethren. If you put on the name of Jesus, God is not ashamed of you. Jesus isn't ashamed of you. You're my brother. You're my sister. That ought to make us have more joy and rejoice in things beyond unlimited anything we could think of. He's not ashamed of us. But I have failed so terribly. I've done so many wrong things. Have you put your faith in the Lord to trust Him to do what He said He's going to do for you, to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness? He will be faithful in doing that. He will be true to His word, and God will be true to the promises. Brethren, we have such a great, great high priest sitting at the right hand of God on our behalf. And I pray and I hope you will appreciate the things that He has done. One more verse and we'll quit. Come over to chapter 7. Look at verse 25 about our high priest. Therefore, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. What is Jesus able to do? Save you forever. Let me tell you something. You're not just bouncing in and out of Christ. Well, today I'm doing pretty good. Oh, no, I failed. I need to go to God. And you remember, God, this is my 325th time I've come before you to confess this same sin. And God says, but you're leaning on the sacrifice of my son, who I accepted. And now guess what he's able to do? He's able to save you forever. And what is he living for? We talked this a little bit about in class this morning. He always lives to make intercession on your behalf. As we sit here this morning with all these people, you know what's happening right now as I even speak? There's this perfect intercession going on between Jesus and God on your behalf. Trust Him. Put some faith in Him. And always know there is a way out of your sins if you're honest. And Jesus is that way. There's a lot of things happened on that day that He died and rose. One of the things that happened, He died that death, and at the temple, the veil of that temple was ripped from top to bottom. Jesus was signifying, come on, brothers, come on, sisters, by my blood now you have a way to God, and I'm there to intercede for you. My blood will pay the price. I am your guarantee. And if He is, why do so many struggle with guilt? Guilt has no place in our relationship with God unless it can lead you to repent. Then it's good. But you shouldn't be guilty over something you've done. Well, I wonder if the Lord's ever forgiven me of that. You walking in the light, you being honest with God, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He's our high priest. Love Him for that. Appreciate Him for it. Take some time and go through and start looking at the places in Hebrews about the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. I pray you'll never forget that. And always appreciate the things that He does for you. All your imperfections, the perfect Christ has made perfect. All your weaknesses have been made strong because of the blood of Christ.